We're starting new series within a series today. Original series is Heroes, and the new series within that series is called The Dreamer. We're going to talk about a man in the Bible who is a pretty cool guy. His name is Joseph, the Dreamer. I don't know if you know much about him, but in the next 4 weeks, I think you will learn many good principles and many things we can pull out from this man's life. He's one only a few people in the Bible who doesn't mess up his life. Did you know that in the Bible, all the heroes, there's only like 3 or 4 people who didn't mess up their life? Actually, in the Bible, it doesn't mention sin of Joseph. Now, it doesn't mean that Joseph didn't have any sins in his life, right? The Bible just doesn't mention them. Joseph is a type of Christ. Joseph is a symbol of Christ. Just as Joseph was sold by his brothers, Jesus Christ came and he was sold by his Jewish brothers. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Joseph went through tough times in his life and eventually delivered his people from death. Jesus Christ went through the cross and delivered all of us from death. So there's like 28 different things that are similar between Joseph and Jesus. Now, Joseph was not a perfect man. He was not a sinless man. But Bible doesn't mention to us his sins. Joseph is the only one out of 3 or 4 people who were righteous according to human standard. Do you know anybody else? Job, probably. Not a perfect man, but, right? And maybe Enoch? That's it. Maybe Daniel? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego? But that's it. The rest of the people in the Bible had problems, had issues. So let's look. Who is this Joseph guy? If we can open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 37, verses 2 through 11. I'll read a little bit of scripture today. And it says this. This is the account of Jacob and of his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flock. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wife, Bilhah and Zilpha. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. I don't know what they were doing. He went out to check out what his brothers were doing. They were shepherds. And maybe they were taking the sticks and poking the sheep. I don't know. What were they doing? Maybe they were abusing the sheep. Maybe they neglected the sheep. Maybe they didn't water them on time. Maybe they went out and partied and abandoned the sheep. So Joseph comes back and brings the bad report to his father. Verse 3, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. Bible gives us a little clue here. You shouldn't love one of your children more than the rest. They keep making that mistake. Abraham had a favorite. Isaac had a favorite. Rebekah had a favorite. And now Jacob is having a favorite one. You would think that Jacob would learn from his past parents' mistakes that they favored, his father favored Esau, his brother, and his mother favored him, Jacob. You would think that he would learn what kind of dysfunction it brought into their family. But he doesn't. He continues to follow in his parents' footsteps. And many times we say we will never be like our parents. And then we grow up and we realize that we're more like our parents than we thought. Right? I said, I'll never be like my dad. He had a little anger issue sometimes. He's a great man, but boy, when he would get hot, he would get hot and quick. And then I got married and I realized, whoa, what is this? That's not me. I said I'll never be like that. So we have to work on those things. Parents, we have to be careful how we act and what we do because our children are watching us. And most likely they will not repeat what we say. They will repeat what we do. And it's important. And so here it passes from generation to generation. The father, Abraham, was kind of a liar and deceiver. Isaac was a good man, but a weak man, right? His wife Rebecca ran the home, and now Jacob is a cheater, and his sons are deceivers as well. So all that dysfunction passes. We see it in four generations now. Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his other sons because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. So all of them, they have these, you know, cheap robes from Kmart, okay? And father goes and buys in Gap or somewhere, or what is the good store to buy a robe these days? Okay, well, somewhere like that. So he has this cool robe of many colors. But his brothers, listen to this verse, but his brothers hate it. That's a strong word. Hated Joseph. Why? Not because of the coat, not because he was 10th born. He was brother number 10. They hated Joseph because the father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him even more. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in a field trying to bundle bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up and your bundles all gathered around and bow low before mine. Oh, what? His brothers responded, so you think you will be our king? Do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more. So they hated him even more, and now they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. So the way he talked about them, what did he say? Soon Joseph had another dream, and again he told his brothers about it. Listen, I have had another dream, he said. The sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me. This time, he told the dream to his father as well as to his brothers. But his father scolded him. What kind of dream is this? He asked. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dream meant. Amen. Amen. Joseph was the 10th born son to Jacob and a firstborn to his love of his life, wife Rachel. He was the son of Jacob's old age, born to the woman that Jacob really loved. If you know anything about Jacob, he had four wives. He wanted to marry this beautiful girl named Rachel, but her father-in-law on the wedding night tricked him and gave him not so beautiful one, Leah. And so he wakes up in the morning and, whoa, what's going on? How much did I have to drink? And so his father says, you serve me 7 more years and I'll give you Rachel. And then in their family, he married 2 more, Rachel's servant girl and Leah's servant girl. They were competing with one another. So Joseph was born, not in the beginning, he was born about on the 14th year of Jacob's exile in the land of Haran, on the year of 14 when he was there. Joseph had 9 stepbrothers who hated him, who didn't like him. And you could probably guess why these boys didn't like Joseph. The Bible says that his father loved him more than the rest of them. That would make him not like Joseph already. But I think there's another reason why they didn't like Joseph. Because Joseph was the first one born to the loved wife. And the 3 wives that these other boys were born to, they were unloved. As you can imagine, what happened in that family is that the women, those 3 other women, and their names are Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpha. Because they didn't feel loved, they probably trained their boys. They put that hate, not towards Jacob, they put that jealousy inside of these boys' hearts since they were little. And so when later on, there was no problems while Rachel couldn't conceive. But once Rachel conceived, what do you think the three wives of Jacob said about her to the hearing of her sons? I imagine that they were saying, so now Jacob loves Rachel already. We know that. And now he's probably going to love that boy more than the rest of us. And we're not going to be loved. And he'll probably be spending all that time with Rachel. And when Joseph was born, they started hating him, I imagine, from the first day of his life. I think they hated him before he was born because the mothers planted that hatred inside of their hearts. Joseph was born into a dysfunctional family. Let me give you this. Did you know that his older brother, Reuben, slept with one of the wives of Jacob? Lost his birthright. Simeon and Levi attacked a small town and killed all the men and plundered all the women, children, and animals and things like that. How dysfunctional can you get? Remember, there's no law at that time like it is today, that they would go to jail for doing something like that. So it was kind of a wild west, okay, in those days. Why did they kill that whole town? Because their sister went out there for a party. And one of the princes of that town raped Dinah. And so they were so full of hate and wanted revenge. They attacked the town. They premeditated how to destroy the town. And they burned the whole thing down. Judah, through whose lineage Jesus Christ came. You want to know about Judah? He's not the perfect example either. He loves sleeping with prostitutes. And one of the prostitutes he sleeps with is his deceased son's wife, Tamar. Huh. This is in the Bible? Yeah, it's in the Bible. We're all adults, but you got to understand, you think that we have a messed up world right now. That sin is sin. 5,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, and today, sin is sin. Right? So Judah sleeps with a prostitute who is his daughter-in-law of his deceased son. But he has another son, and according to that tradition, he was supposed to give Tamar, his younger son, to continue the generation. But because he wouldn't, because he didn't like her, she acted as a prostitute. But this is not the first time he hung out with these women. So as you see, it's not a perfect family. His father, Jacob, is messed up too. Deceived his brother, deceived his father, deceived his father-in-law, wrestled with God. Not a perfect family. Maybe you feel today, well, I didn't grow up in a perfect family. Well, the good news of today's message is this. You don't have to grow up in a perfect family. God can use you. All right? Because somebody so good comes from a family that is so bad. Amen. Amen. You have an opportunity in your generation, in your family, to make the change. Maybe you came from a family of alcoholics or drug addicts or poverty. You have an opportunity to change. You have an opportunity to do something different. But it's not going to be easy. Everybody loves to hear God will use you. God will do great things for you. But they don't know the price it takes for God to do what he's going to do. There is a huge price to pay. So if you knew the price, you probably say, God, don't use me. Use my brother and then have him go through the Potiphar's house, through prison house, and then have him set everything up for us. And then we'll just come in and we will enjoy. Many times I told my wife, I said, and our friends, close friends, I said, if I knew the price you had to pay to be in ministry, I would never do it. Never do it. Can't even go to a movie theater. Because people are like, what movie are you watching, Pastor? So many times my wife and I had to walk out of movie theaters. Yeah. I don't know if I'd do it if I was not a pastor. But because I am a pastor, certain example that I have to set. Certain price that you have to pay. Amen? I don't know those crazy people who want to be famous. Why would you want to be famous? Everything you do, everybody's watching, taking pictures of you and videos of you. Dude, just stay under the radar. It's cool. Enjoy your life. Their life is no better than yours. They just got more, but that's it. I'm like, you got to be crazy to want to be famous. That's it. Anyway, let's keep going. Just a little something there. So while in dysfunctional families, Joseph decides to follow God. How does this happen? Joseph is the youngest one. So imagine with me this. His father is old already. While the nine boys were growing up, his older brothers, the father didn't have time for them. He was conniving and deceiving and chasing riches. You see? So he didn't have time to talk to the nine boys about God. But when Joseph is growing up, he's old now. Plus, he cannot chase the money anymore because God did what to him? Tore down his socket on his leg, so he's crippled. He can't run after the money anymore. So Joseph Jacob is spending a lot of time investing into his son Joseph. And his brothers think, well, he's favoring him. No, he's investing into him. Parents, there's a lesson. You can invest in your businesses or you can invest in your kids. There's got to be a balance there. And as men, we want to be successful. We want to achieve things, right? So we go and we invest and we try to succeed in life. But your business will not be there with you when you're in your deathbed. Your business will not be there. It's your kids who are going to be there. So I think Jacob has learned his lesson. He's like, my kids are messed up because of me. I was chasing a dollar. I was trying to deceive everybody. All I wanted was sheep. More sheep and goats. More, more, more. And finally he says, okay, I'm old. I can spend time with my kids. With us, we have three kids. We have 10, 9, almost 11, and almost 10, and then a 2-year-old. And I don't remember my 11 and 10-year-old growing up because I was chasing everything. So I know what Jacob is going through. Parents, you probably know that too. If you have older kids and now you have a younger child, a surprise child, and maybe when you got older, you're going to spend more time with them. Because you want to invest that time with them. Listen, young parents, there's a lesson for you here. Spend time. Because what happened to Joseph's older brothers was because they were neglected by their father. Number two, because the father didn't love their mothers, they felt rejected as well. Because their mothers felt rejected, hold on. They felt rejected. Now, if you're in marriage today, fight for your marriage. So your kids, for your kids, love, husbands, love your wives. Love the mothers of your children. Because when the mothers feel rejected, what do? They pass it to their children. Satan is fighting with super guns, blasters to destroy your marriage. He's using the big guns to tear people apart because he knows what happens to the children. And so many people in our time are growing up without a parent. So fight for your marriage. Rejection is a wound to your inner man. Rejection, if I took a knife and cut you on your arm, okay, I wouldn't do that, but if I did, all right, and you just left it there, and you got mad at me saying, how dare you do that? But you didn't took care of the wound. What would happen? It would get infected, it would fester and start stinking, right? So what happens when we do? I had a cut on my finger a long time ago on my thumb, I almost cut it off when I was about 19, 20 years old. I went to the hospital right away, got it taken care of right away. We do that when it happens to our outer man. But when it happens to our inner man, what do we do then? You know that rejection cuts your inner man. And most of us, because we can't see it, we don't take care of it. And so these sons and these women grew up with rejection. And rejection, like I said, is is inner man scars that don't heal. Just like viruses attack your physical body if you don't take care of it, right? Don't take care of a cut. Viruses will attack and will start spreading, starts getting yellow. What attacks your inner man? Question, what attacks our inner man when we don't take care of a problem? Demons. Demons. Demons are like flies. Okay? I've taught you this before. Jesus was accused of casting out demons with the prince of demons. What was his name? Beelzebub, right? What does the name Beelzebub means? Prince of the flies. Huh. Your physical body gets attacked, physical viruses. Your inner man, your spiritual body, your inside man that's inside, that lives forever. Your body dies, your man, inner man lives forever, gets attacked by spiritual flies. So when you live with a spirit of rejection in you, when you live with unforgiveness, because what else can cut your spiritual man? Unforgiveness can. Bitterness can. Bitterness is like festering of a wound. You should forgive not for the sake of another person, but for the sake of you, because that's the only way you can heal. Many of you take care of your body really good, put makeup on it, you wash it, put lotion on it, and all kinds, you trim your hair and everything. But you never attend to your inner man, and that's why you have all kinds of, you have no joy, you have depression all the time, because you're wounded and you won't deal with it. And that's what's going on with these boys, and look what they do. They're so full of jealousy and hate. They hate him even more, they hate him, they just can't stop it. To the point where they see him and they say, let's kill him. How do you as a brother do that? And there's 9 of them. It's not 1 or 2 say, let's kill him. How do you come to consensus when there's 9 of you and you say, let's kill him? Those inner wounds never got healed. And you know what? I'm not going to go into the rejection and spirit of rejection and all that, but I want to tell you quickly. The best way to heal rejection is to forgive. The best way to heal those wounds, inner wounds, is to forgive and to let go. That's why Jesus said, whenever you pray, forgive. Every single time you pray, forgive. You need to even forgive ahead of time. Some people haven't done yet, but you know what they're going to do. And you need to say, God, I forgive that person of what they're going to do. I'm talking from experience. God taught me this principle. Sometimes he will show you the people that will betray you. Right? And you can live in that fear first. And then when they do betray you, you live in that unforgiveness even more. It's already been built up. So what you have to do is you say, Father, I know people will offend me. People will hurt me. And I choose to forgive them before they do it. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. And if he carried that unforgiveness inside of him, he couldn't have loved Judas the way he should have loved Judas. But because Jesus forgave Judas before Judas, Jesus forgave Peter before Peter denied him. When they did that, he wasn't surprised. He wasn't shocked. There was no big shock. Oh, how can you do that? Right? It was, okay, yeah, okay, whatever. Let's move on. I know this is happening. Listen, when you live in this world, people will offend you. And the closest ones will offend you the most. The closest to you will offend you the most. And the best tool is to heal the inner wounds is to forgive. Peter says, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times a day? He says, 70 times 7, 490 times. So forgiveness doesn't just happen automatically. So I say, I forgive you, and I still feel bitter. I forgive you. So you got to keep saying it. I forgive you, up to 490 times a day. By that time, it's every 3 minutes, I think, or something like that. By that time, I think you will be okay, right? Because forgiveness is like that pesky fly. You go like, get out of here. And the unforgiveness is like, get. And it goes like, oh, get out of here. Dirty self off of me. And it doesn't go away till you get a swatter and you start chasing it and pulling the curtains down and finally you kill it. Right? Your inner man. What do you do with your inner man? Do you have pain? Maybe it was done by an ex-boyfriend, by an ex-husband, wife. What do? Forgive. Forgive. Do yourself a favor. I don't know who said that. And forgive. Joyce Meyer, do yourself a favor and forgive. Don't live with that. Don't live with that. Don't live with that. Whew, time is flying when you're having fun. All right. Let's talk about next thing. Joseph had haters. So will you. Joseph had haters. So will you. It's not pleasant to know that somebody hates you. It's not fun when you know somebody is making the point of their life to hate you and talk evil about you. But one thing you need to understand about your haters is they got nothing better to do. And instead of investing their time into seeking God for what is my purpose in life? What is my dream? What do you want me to do? Guess what haters do? They look at people who are a little better off than them, and they begin to, and they, who intimidate them, and they begin to talk evil about them. Haters spend all of their energy focusing on other people instead of asking God, what should I be doing? Show me my plan, my path, God. What do you have for me? I feel sorry for haters. They're not living their own life. They're not happy. The only time they're happy is when they find some fault in you. But what does that do to them? How does that betters their life? It doesn't. It doesn't. So instead of putting all of their energy in finding their gifts, discovering who they are, what purpose in life God has for them, they use that energy to spread hate. God, on the other hand, you will use your haters to get rid of pride out of your life. God uses haters to remove pride out of your life. There's two ways to remove pride. One is you humble yourself. Most of us won't do that. We just don't know how. Why would I humble myself? I mean, I'm fine with myself. It's the other people's problem. Right? So the only way, the second way, how God will remove pride out of you is through your haters. God uses haters. God has a plan for Joseph's life, and Joseph is not ready yet for it. As you can see in the Bible, Joseph is a little arrogant, right? He sees his brother doing something, he goes and tattletale on them. He kind of is a snitch, maybe, right? He talks about his dream, the way he talked about his dream, whatever that means. God uses hate and adversity to remove pride out of you. Why? Because when God has a big plan for your life, he cannot achieve it when you are full of pride. So God will remove pride out of you and it hurts. And then he'll build you up and use you for his glory. You like proud people? You like arrogant people? God doesn't either. So he will work to remove pride. And he uses these guys and their evil intentions. But he's always with Joseph. He's always protecting him. Nothing escapes God. Nothing they do, God doesn't know about. Amen? Why was Joseph hated so much? Number one, because Jacob loved Joseph more than them. Sometimes person A hates a person B, and it has nothing to do with person B. They harbored hatred for Joseph because their father loved him more. Number two, why did they hate Joseph so much? Because Joseph lived righteously according to human standard. Joseph decided to live differently. Amen? And what happens when you decide to live differently? People from your old life will begin to talk smack about you. People will begin to persecute you. Bible says, whoever wants to, desires to live a godly life will be persecuted. Correct? So when you decide to live for God, get ready. Things will come against you. Attacks will come. Some of you say, when I give my life to Jesus, nothing bad will happen to me. Yeah, right. Get ready, because people are going to come against you. But God is going to use their hatred, their negativity, their whispers to build you up. To build you up. Amen. Joseph lived righteously. Number three, why did they hate Joseph so much? I had a thought about this. This is pretty, could be pretty cool. Because Joseph was prepared by his father to be an heir of his inheritance. Why did his father send Joseph with those guys knowing they hate him? I think he was sending them not as a worker, but as a supervisor. Huh. Now Joseph was firstborn to his beloved wife. And number two, Reuben disqualified himself by sleeping with one of the wives of his father. So Reuben is done. I think his father, Jacob, was getting him ready, was grooming him for to be an inheritor. And that's why his brother said, do you think you will rule over us? You're young. And this is where a lesson is. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter where you grew up, or maybe there's people more qualified than you. When God uses you, when God chooses you, none of that matters. Let me read to you some from Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 5, 1 and 2, if you could put it on the screen. The oldest son of Israel was Reuben. But since he dishonored his father by sleeping with one of his father's concubines, his birthright was given to the son of his brother Joseph. For this reason, Reuben is not listed in the genealogical records as the firstborn son. The descendants of Judah became the most powerful tribe and provided a ruler for the nation. But the birthright belonged to Joseph. Huh. Could it be that his father was preparing him to be to take that position after he dies? Bible says so. I'm going to believe the Bible. Reuben disqualified himself of Joseph. And you know what? When God has a purpose for your life, you will get haters. You will have haters. And that's okay. Just move on. Do your thing. Man, I got so much to say, and we're running out of time. I know half of you are like, it's enough, Pastor. Let's go home. But there's another half of you, good half, that says, no, it's okay. It's okay. Just keep going, Pastor. And you'll let me know after the service which half you're in. Okay. God had a special assignment for Joseph. So he gives him dreams. He gives him dreams. Does God speak to us through dreams today? Yes? Who said that? All right, thank you. The rest of you are like, I don't know. All my dreams are pretty crazy. God does speak to us through dreams. It's a rare thing. It's a once or twice in a lifetime thing. But God will speak to you through dreams. Don't pay attention to every dream. Bible says, test your dreams, but there's sometimes a prophetic dream that will stay with you for the rest of your life. Before we were opening this church, in about 3 months of time, maybe had three or four prophetic dreams that I will never forget. And you know what? When we started this church and there was nothing happening, no matter what we did, our church stayed at 30 people. And we tried, and the vision was to bring people who are not saved to God. And we're like, what are we doing wrong? Nobody's getting saved. All we're getting is people from other churches to come here, right? And nothing would happen. And the only thing that would sustain me is every time I wanted to quit, and that dream would pop up that God would give me 12 years ago or a long time ago and be like, keep strong. I'm going to do this. I'm going to finish this. Have God given you dreams a long time ago? And maybe they didn't come to pass. You know, when you're young, you think that your dreams will come to pass in about a year. And then 2 years passes. And then 10 years passes. Nothing, God. In Joseph's life, it was 13 years before his dreams came true. And he was a slave and a prisoner most of that time. Not most of the time, all of that time. Right?
Does God still speak through dreams? Job chapter 33. I want you to remember this chapter because this is pretty cool. Verse 14, it says this. For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night. When deep sleep falls upon people as they lie in their beds, he whispers in their ears and terrifies them with warnings. God will warn you in a dream. He makes them turn from doing wrong. He keeps them from pride. He protects them from the grave, from crossing over the river of death. That's that river that everybody sings about sometimes. Songs made are about it. So you see, God will speak to you. Now, dreams are not the only thing God will speak to you. The best way he will speak to you is through the word of God. But sometimes he will speak to you through a dream. Sometimes he'll speak to you through a drunk person. Yeah. I'm serious. I've had some weird things said to me by drunk people out of nowhere. They were walking by, hey, and they just blabber something. I'm like, what did you say? You don't know me. Right? One time I'm working, pulling a root for this lady for free. Just helping her out, pull the bushes out of the front yard. She turns to me, and she's not a very godly woman. She turns to me and said, I'm not going to say what she said, but, and I'm like, stuck with me for the rest of my life. God will speak to you through many different things. Are you listening? He's speaking to you today. Are you listening? He's speaking to somebody who's full of hate today. He's speaking to somebody who's on the recipient part of that. He's speaking to those who he says who are wounded on the inside and says, you need to forgive. He's speaking to those who are causing the wounds right now. And he's saying, you need to stop and repent and get healed yourself. Because the reason you hate is because you got wounds on the inside of rejection. The bully in school is probably the one who's been rejected by his parents, by everybody else. So that's why he puts that gorilla face. Right? He's acting tough, but he's hurt. His inner man is cut, and it's not healing. And if it doesn't heal, you'll end up in the wrong place. So today, I believe God is speaking to us. And I know there's so much more to say, but there's no time. God is speaking to us, and he's saying, don't leave this service without being healed. Because the Spirit of God is in this place right now. When he speaks the word, he also brings the power to give you strength to change. Some of you till this moment, you just had no strength to change. You knew you were bitter. You knew you were angry. You knew you were full of jealousy and hate. But you just couldn't help yourself. But now, Spirit of God is here so you can be free. I believe God wants to minister to us today. And deliverance needs to happen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to set the captives free. You are not free till he sets you free. Don't be that Christian who is full of hate. Hiding on the inside, it's going to pop out. God wants to heal you. We're ready. God will speak to you. He's speaking right now. God wanted to use Joseph. But he had to pay the price. Right? He had to pay a price. If you want to be used by God, you will have to pay a price. But remember, the reason God uses you, the big picture, is to save Israel from extinction. Remember, in 7 years, actually in 14 years, a great famine is coming. It's going to hit that Middle East area and Egypt and Horn of Africa. And if it wasn't for Joseph going and paying the price, all these people that God prepared would be dead. They would die. Sometimes we forget that that God uses us not for us. He uses us for other people. Sometimes God blesses you financially, not for you, but for other people. Why didn't he bless Reuben? Why didn't Reuben go? Well, Reuben had a lust issue, okay? So he would have disqualified himself in a Potiphar's house. Right, he would probably sleep with that woman. And then Potiphar would find out. Come on. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, speak to the hearts of your people. Speak right now. Would you close your eyes right now? Just let him talk to you.
Let him deal with you today. The reason you're here, the reason you made it, he gave you strength to make it. The reason you're sitting here, because God is dealing, he's doing something in your heart. I speak to the inner man of every person on the sound of my voice, even those who listen online. In the name of Jesus, as they forgive right now in their hearts. And some of them can't forgive till they're free. So Father, I come against those things, those infections of the spirit that have infected the inner man of a person. I come against those things. We tear them out. We pull them out. And we speak healing to the soul of the inner man. We speak healing to your mind, to your heart. Deliver your people from all evil. Heal your people, oh God, right now. As you're sitting here now, you feel like something is coming up and you need to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Whatever that is, just the thought, let it go. The buildup, let it go. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of God, move. Angels of the Lord, surround this place. And chain links, surround this place from up, from the ceiling to the floor. Every heart, I speak freedom. I speak freedom to your heart. In Jesus' name, I come against that confusion that you feel in your, and you don't know what truth is and what truth is and what it's not anymore. You're confused. In the name of Jesus, be set free. I uproot every evil thing that hides itself in those inner wounds. I command a spirit of rejection to go. I command the unforgiveness to go. All the strongholds, come down in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Ah. Keep your eyes closed. If you have not given your life to Jesus yet, he loves you. He died on the cross to pay for your sins. Why are you still carrying your sins? Like a backpack full of rocks behind your back. Why are you? You don't have to. Jesus Christ took the sins and he was punished on the cross. So you don't have to. And today he wants to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you have given your life to Jesus, but you've never really committed to him and followed him. By saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. He loves you. He brought you here. This is a point of destiny with you and God. This is a meeting point with you and God. You know, Bible says that angels celebrate on account of one person coming into the kingdom. You just said, God, I want you in my life. I want to pray with you all today. If you keep your eyes closed, repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I believe that you're a son of God who died for my sins. Forgive me of my sins. Make me a part of your family. Use me for your glory. I want to live for you. I want to trust you. From this day on, I believe by faith that I'm saved and I'm forgiven because of what you have done on the cross. All of my sins, past, present, and future, have been crucified on the cross. And I'm free. And I'm forgiven. And I'm going to live a new life. In Jesus' name. Amen.